Keith McPherson on The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I'm back from the holiday weekend, and we got to change course a little bit from what I was expecting to do here. KM to PM. Yeah, we'll go with that. Keith McPherson on the Fan. 388-808-1019, like FM. Let's ride. Great weekend. We're obviously going to talk about the Mets as I'm watching this game. Come on, Mets, walk it off. It's 2-2 in Queens. First game of the single admission doubleheader against the Los Angeles Dodgers. And the Mets are up 2-0, but no lead is ever safe. They find ways to Met. And we'll get to the Rangers, of course, heading into game four. And then we'll talk Yankees before the Yankees take on the Anaheim Angels out there in the Big A. Again, 388-808-1019 is how you call the Fan now. I'm getting used to saying the number. I was practicing on my way here. Like, all right, how do I want to say it? 388-808-1019, like FM. New number and a new summer ahead of us, man. And I had so much fun this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, kicking off the summer. Shout out to you if you came to DJs, if I got to meet you there, take a picture, shake your hand there. Shout out to everybody that showed up and supported all day. There were so many people from early morning, Boomer and Geo, BT and Sal, through Evan and Tiki. It was great to get out there with my wife and my son and meet some people and get on stage and join Evan and Tiki and just be thinking about, all right, that's three in a row. It's three summers in a row that we've done that DJ's event where I'm from, and it was a good feeling, man. And had some drinks there and skated off, and I'm a dad now, so there's no more partying. I can't stay at DJ's and party all night or go to Asbury Park and party all night. I went to the hotel. My son's got bedtime around 7:30, got to be lights out, everybody, by 8 o'clock. And, all I did was just kind of set up shop in my hotel room, but it was a great sports night, right? There was so much going on in the world, wide world of sports. And obviously the Yankee game, the Yankees come out against San Diego, and it's home run derby against Yu Darvish. It's just like they knew exactly what he was thinking, what he was doing, and it was just fun to watch. It was system overload. They absolutely tattooed him. And then you have the Mets, and that game Friday night, man, it just added to everything. My guy Evan, I just saw Evan in here. He's clean shaven. He's got the low haircut. Evan is back. He looks like the Evan we all know and love, but he shaved his beard Friday trying to shake up this Mets team, trying to do something to get this Mets team going, thinking, yeah, let me shave this beard that I started growing for Pete Alonso to sign an extension with said Mets team. That's probably not going to happen. So let's shave it in hopes of getting this Mets team going. And how did they repay you, Mets fans? Memorial Day weekend, you're trying to kick back, have some beers, have some barbecue, relax and watch the game or listen to the game. And they find a way to embarrass you. They find a way to absolutely blow that game. And it's comical. It's laughable. It's LOL Mets. And I'm not going to rub it in. I'm not here to troll. But it's just obvious what's going on here. When over the weekend, the broadcast has to lean into the LOL Mets and talking about, oh, the sun will come out tomorrow. It made me think of the, John Sterling call. The sun will come out, Tanaka. Things are all sunshine, rainbows, and butterflies on the other side. I'm glad I picked the Yankees when I was a kid. Sitting in my hotel room, I'm like, man, one of the single greatest life decisions I ever made, and nobody told me to do it, was just picking up that Yankees hat and being a Yankee fan. Look what has come of it. Oh, what a grave mistake it would have been if I went the other way. Five runs in the eighth, it's just all bad. And like I said, I'm not going to rehash it and rub it in, but here we are again tonight, right? Let's see what happens here with this ball. That ball is caught by the shortstop, Mookie Betts. Update on game one with the Mets and Dodgers. It is now bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, two outs. It's tied 2-2. And we'll see what happens on this next at-bat. But most likely, we're going to extras on a day where it's a single admission doubleheader where you could go see two Mets games for free. I don't know if they could pay me to go see one. 3-8-8-0-8-1-0-1-9. I'm only on until like 8:55, so we got about 2 hours. But we're going to start with the Mets. Steve Cohen tweeting for the Mets does nothing to help the Mets. I don't know who's advising him. I don't know who's telling him to be socially active, be present on Twitter. It's not helping the Mets at all. And I believe him now when he says that he was trying to DM that blogger. He wasn't trying to reply. He wanted that message to be private because clearly he doesn't know how to use the app. Clearly he doesn't understand the platform. Smart guy, but he's got to smarten up on Twitter. Man, the tweet that he put out, going into the series, looking forward to our 10-game homestand starting tonight. LGM. We are experimenting with our new artist series giveaway tomorrow. Enjoy the Joel Melsler created tote bag. Feedback appreciated. What do you think is going to come through there? 750 replies to that. And how many quote tweets? I don't even know. It doesn't matter. But you don't go on Twitter looking for feedback about a tote bag as your team is struggling, as you don't have an identity with this team, as fans aren't showing up to the ballpark, as you don't know if Edwin Diaz is the closer that you paid for. Like, Edwin Diaz had, what, one outing of not being the closer? He came in the seventh, and then they roll him back out there? And it's like, what, for what? It's not baseball stuff, right? Fix this guy. Help this guy. He's crying in the club. There's no crying in baseball, but this guy's clearly frustrated to the point where he's in tears, and you put him out there again to make him cry again? All to do what? Saturday, they wanted to play the trumpet so bad. They just wanted an opportunity to do the bomb, 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 bomb. Like, Mr. and Mrs. Met dancing on top of the dugout with trumpets is not baseball stuff. Stick to the baseball stuff, the things that will improve the team. If I'm David Stearns, I'm getting rid of all these guys and all these contracts that I didn't oversee, that I didn't make happen for the Make It Happen Mets. I'm like, whatever, I'm done, because none of them look good. Edwin Diaz contract doesn't look great right now. Kodai Senga, where is Kodai Senga? What's taking so long? Kodai Senga contract doesn't look great right now. Brandon Nimmo was signed to be your center fielder. You paid him center fielder type money. Jeff McNeil, I mean, I know Jeff McNeil has hit a couple home runs in the last couple weeks, but it's not good enough. And then Francisco Lindor with the explanation to why he didn't take the bat off his shoulders. He gets rung up thinking, oh, well, you know, guy's not going to throw a strike. Of course he is. Oh, yeah, well, he hadn't thrown strike. Yeah, he got guy. It's a bad looking clip. And then he just added another one today. We're in here in the newsroom watching. He obviously hit the homer today and helped the Mets. But then he erased that. But I guess, you know, he sees the Dodgers lay down a bunt, advance the runner to tie the game. He decides to lay down a bunt, and he wears it off his finger. He wears a pitch off his finger. There's a chance that he broke that finger, fractured that finger, sprained it for something. There's a chance that for all of you calling for Francisco Lindor to be gone, he might be on the IL anyway. 3-8-8-0-8-1-0-1-9, like FM. Keith McPherson on the Fan for another 2 hours and change. I mean, it is just, when it rains, it pours. And I was thinking about that as I was putting my notes together. The only person looking out for the Mets is Mother Nature. When it rains, Mother Nature is moving these games, canceling these games. Oh, no. Does that score a run? Yeah. So, in the top of the ninth here, Mookie Betts, who is unstoppable, drives in Manfred's man on second. Jorge Lopez, I'm sorry, brother. It's not on you. Should be Michael Tonkin's job. Oh, we can't blame Michael Tonkin now. He's on the Yankees. Mookie Betts, easy money. Just a slap single right up the middle. Nobody there. That scores Manfred's imaginary man on second. How'd that runner get there? Manfred put him there. That runner scores, and now the Los Angeles Dodgers lead your New York Mets 3-2 with no outs, runner on first, top of the 10th. Guess who's up at the plate? Shohei Ohtani, which is a perfect segue into where I want to go with calls and conversation today. Yes, just wait. You just wait till Shohei Ohtani is in Queens. You just wait until Steve Cohen throws all that money at Shohei and he brings the show to Flushing. Still waiting. Never happening. So now we're playing that game with the generational Juan Soto. It's just corny, man. And I feel bad. I feel bad that in your season, right, the weekend that we say, hey, it's Memorial Day. Look at your team. They are what they are. You know if you got a team by Memorial Day. And you're looking at your team. They're blowing saves. You don't know who is who, what is what, who to send down, who to bring up. The core of the team is trash. You don't know if you want Pete Alonso anymore. And here we are. And the focus is they got to sign Juan Soto. It is pathetic. And I guess we're going to do this for June, July, August, September, October, November, and then finally in December, which it might not even be December. Freddie Freeman, is that ball out? That ball is out, folks. Now the score is 5-2. Los Dodgers over the New York Metropolitans, 3-8, 808, 1019. I knew we had to shift here. I was going to come in and talk Rangers. No quit in New York. How ridiculous are the Rangers? They have good players on their team. Their good players aren't even playing good yet. Wait till they start actually playing well. No, I knew we had to shift to the Mets with this game on live and the Mets imploding once again. Right? So let's go back to the Steve Cohen tweet. Looking forward to our 10-game homestand starting tonight. Steve, just don't. Just don't even put that. You're asking for feedback. People are going to reply to his tweet right now. Hey, homestand not going very good. Judging your team after Memorial Day, not going very good. Blow it up. And you know Steve wants to blow it up because you replied to that blogger saying, hey, well, we can't do anything until a trade deadline. 3-8, 808, 1019 like FM. Oh, boy. I mean, where else do you want me to go with the whole saga of these Mets? These Mets are my Mets. Never watched more Mets games than I have in these last couple years. I mean, I'm listening to Howie Rose and Keith Rad on the call now. Never, ever imagine doing that. But this is bad. How many jerseys you need to lose in? Have they won a game in the City Connect uniforms? They got two gray jerseys, a white jersey, a black jersey, a blue jersey. It's all things that have nothing to do with baseball. Queen's Best Dance Crew. Nothing to do with baseball. Hit it, folks. The Mets go down, right? What are they going to do here in between the 10th? Before we go to the bottom of the 10th, is somebody going to do a handstand, breakdance on top of the dugout, try and fire the fans up to come back, score three runs to tie, four to win it? It's just all bad. There's nothing good to report. And the only thing, the only saving grace, which is comedy to me, is Juan Soto. He's a Yankee. He's doing interviews on how much he loves Yankee Stadium. If you heard me on stage with Evan and Tiki, I said, City Field's not even built for Mets fans to embrace Juan Soto like Yankee Stadium. As soon as Juan Soto skips over that line, watch him. I've been at more than 10 games this year. I had eyes on him every time. As soon as he comes out, this guy skips over that line. And before he comes back in, he prays. He grabs some dirt off of the Yankee Stadium soil. And there's Dominican flags out there. He's turning around all game. Anytime there's a break in the game to interact with the fans, this guy is home. And I guess, in theory, Steve Cohen can put $700 million on the table for him, and it could still get turned down. 3-8, 808, 1019. I'm listening to this stuff, and it reminds me. I'm like, yo, we're going back to the Nike versus Puma stuff, the branding stuff. You have to build your brand. What we're watching right now, if you're live watching on SNY, what I'm watching, this is the Mets brand losing, blowing games, being laughed at. Juan Soto has won a World Series. Juan Soto is looking to win another World Series. He bats in front of Aaron Judge. Why? Like four straight days with a homer, the most ridiculous month. Yeah, Aaron Judge is back to MVP form. Anybody that doubted, I never doubted his abilities. I doubted his health for good reason. He was pulled from spring training. He was hurt all last season. But hey, I'll eat those words gladly. I'm entertained by the Juan Soto-Aaron Judge combo when you mix in Alex Verdugo and Giancarlo Stanton. And oh, hey, DJ, who was getting MVP votes just 4 or 5 years ago, is back tonight. There it is, folks. All right, here we go, Mets. Going to the bottom of the 10th, down 5-2. The Mets need 3 to tie, 4 to win it. 888-308-1019. I'll bring a call in so you don't have to just hear me going on and on. But the last thing I'll say about this whole, okay, Juan Soto is the only move, the only thing that can save the Mets. No, he can't. He's not Ohtani. He can't pitch and hit. And even Ohtani can't save the Mets or the Dodgers, right? It just reminds me of another analogy that I use, right? It's the guy, the rich guy that goes on dates and gets ghosted after every first date. And then he says, the only way I'm going to redeem myself is by landing Sydney Sweeney. No, the only way I can come back from this is to get with Ice Spice. No, I'll do better. I'm going to land my next date with Dua Lipa. You're dreaming. Good luck. Doesn't work like that. Money can't buy you love. It takes two to tango. Juan Soto's got to want you. And you know what I know for a fact? Scott Boras, similar to Joel Wolf, is going to use Steve Cohen and use his money. And Steve Cohen, don't be a dummy. David Stearns, more importantly, don't be a dummy. They're going to use his money to drive up the price, like I said. And they're going to try and get that price tag up to $700 million like Ohtani got, which doesn't make any sense for Juan Soto to command $700 million. But Steve Cohen's going to have to put that much more money than the next guy. And I don't know if the next guy includes any other teams. I don't know. Friends of mine, shout out to Gabe, is telling me Toronto's going to be in on him. Friends of mine are telling me that San Francisco is going to be in on him. And all these other teams that have bid, or the Phillies are going to be in on him. I'm like, yeah, but this guy has gotten a taste of New York, and the New York Yankees are going to be in on him. Technically, they don't need him, right? If they were to lose out on Juan Soto to the Mets, he would definitely be a laughingstock. Like, it would change his whole history, trajectory. If he's a Hall of Famer going into Canton with a Mets hat on, it's just laughable to think about. But the Yankees would just bring back Verdugo, who I think Verdugo is going to get big money where he'll be out of the equation for the Yankees. And then here comes Jason Dominguez and Spencer Jones, and there's your outfield with Aaron Judge. 388-808-1019. Let me see if I can bring in a call before we break here, Rami. Let's do it. John is in Bayside. John, you're first up on the Fan.
Hi, Keith. How you doing today?
I'm all right. You know.
Yeah. How's your son doing? What is he, 14 months now?
He's coming up on 14 months on the 13th of June.
I've been following. Okay, I haven't called a lot, but I've been listening to you pretty much since you started. Let's talk about the Mets tonight. I have been concerned particularly about Edwin Diaz and Jeff McNeil, very underperforming their baseball card. Really, Diaz should not be that bad. And Jeff McNeil, since he won the batting title 2 years ago, has done nothing. What do you think about those two players?
You're correct. It's not just them, but it's a big problem when you have guys that you paid, that you're relying on, veterans that are the core of your team, that are supposed to be the glue keeping your team together, and they're falling apart.
Yeah, I mean, Lindor is good, but inconsistent.
Not good enough for his price tag.
I don't particularly like the fact that I don't want them to fire the manager, but the manager is
that's another thing, John. Let's go back to Buck Showalter and how he was treated, how he was sent away, how he was told that he didn't have a job anymore and he'll probably never get another job managing in Major League Baseball. That was a bad omen. There's some bad karma, and I feel like they're in it right now. Carlos Mendoza, I won't say he's in over his head, but I feel bad for him because this is his opportunity coming across town from the Yankees to be a big league skipper, and he's got to deal with this mess. And that's the job, right? He took on this job knowing, hey, what comes with it in this market and this team and what David Stearns and Steve Cohen want me to do, I got to face the media every night. I got to talk to the cameras and microphones every night and represent this team.
Speaking of Steve Cohen, we all were told that he would be spending so much money.
He tried.
Last off season he didn't, and they're not sure about Alonso. I think the Mets may need to sell and retool their team. Yes, but I don't see how getting rid of Alonso, 40 homers, 120 RBIs a year is going to help them. I think they should keep Alonso and get rid of McNeil and people. But what do you think about Mets keeping Pete Alonso?
Thanks for the call, John. I see no point in keeping Pete Alonso. If you're not about to compete this year, next year, the year after, then why give Pete Alonso that money, Steve? And you've waited this long, right? You could have paid him earlier. He goes out and gets Scott Boras, and he's hitting some homers this year, but it's not like he's MVP'd. It's not like he's balling out of control where you're like, hey, this is a guy that we can't let go anywhere. And half your fan base isn't worried about Pete. They're worried about another Scott Boras client in Juan Soto, who I also don't think you're going to be able to sign. It's unfortunate how things go. But I've always said this about Pete. Pete watched all of these guys come into his clubhouse, all of these new faces, all of these superstar big-name guys come in and collect the bag, the money tree, generational wealth. And he's still waiting on his paycheck. He's going to the home run derby trying to win $1 million winning the home run derby. He's still waiting on his big payday. If I'm him, I don't want to be here anymore because it's a mess. If I'm him, I don't have loyalty anymore to this organization. Maybe the fans, yeah, but it is what it is, right? Jacob DeGrom was supposed to be a forever Met as well. How did that shake out? They had a line drawn in the sand, and they didn't want to pay that man. And so he left for greener pastures. Mets fans laughed at him, said he didn't want to really be a Met, that he was going to a place that they weren't going to win, and then they literally won the World Series without him that following year. He'll be back. He'll be back. And the Rangers just seem to be a better brand than the Mets have. 3-8-8-0-8-1-0-1-9 like FM. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's take another call before we do hit that first break. Mike is in Clifton Park. Mike, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. So I'm a Mets fan, and I'm a Knicks fan. And this reminds me of the Knicks from a few years ago when they had poor Porzingis, and they didn't know, should we sign him, should we not sign him? But the Knicks were, like, losing. I think Mets are at the same point with this team. The Wilpons really screwed up the team. It's been unhealthy for a long time. I think it's time to clear it out now, clean out the closet, and start over like the Knicks did. Don't invest money in things that aren't working, you know? So that's my take on it, Keith, you know? So thank you for the time here.
Thanks for the call. I'm right there with you. It just made me think of something that I can relate from my own personal life, right? I remember when I was trying to become a influencer, a podcast host, a YouTuber, a personality, eventually to get into the media like I am now on radio and television. I was 1 foot in that bucket, the other foot back into what I did prior. I was doing social media marketing, digital marketing. I was a social media manager, coordinator, and doing social media behind the scenes for companies in New York. And I felt like I was overworked. I felt like I was underappreciated. I felt like I was always doing things that were successful for companies, but nobody knew that the ideas and the work was coming from me, and I felt unfulfilled, so I quit my job. But when I quit that job, man, I just wanted to go back to what I was doing for the consistent paycheck, the benefits, and just the comfort of, all right, this is my job Monday through Friday, blah, 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 but I wanted more. And I knew that more could be 3 years away, 5 years away, and that is final. The Mets do lose that game. Unfortunately here, folks, 5-2, but I mean, you saw it coming. Evan saw it coming before he walked out of the door. It is what it is. But back to my parallel here. When I was 1 foot into who I wanted to be and 1 foot into who I was, my wife said, what do you want to do? Who do you want to be? And her phrase was, because my phrase is always the universe never unconnects. Her phrase was, stop confusing the universe. Choose. And as soon as you go in that direction, things will come your way that you want. And she was 100% correct. Once I made it up in my mind, I want to be the guy. I want to be the man. I got to go for this. It's now or never. Little things started popping up on the path, on the road, to pull me towards where I am now and make me go further away from where I was. So for the Mets, they need to stop confusing the universe. No more contracts. You have this deadline coming up again where you can do what you did last year, punt. You have the only owner in the sport that can eat these contracts and wait for them to melt off. If I'm David Stearns, I'm using the power of Steve Cohen's money not to go sign Juan Soto, but yet to say goodbye to some of these guys and let them go elsewhere and pay off the money on the contracts, whatever it is, make deals with whatever teams that are going to eat X amount of dollars, whatever, so that you can start anew. This has to be a revamped clubhouse. This needs to have some new young energy in it, and they need to stop confusing the universe and realize that you punted last year. You brought a new president of baseball operations in last year. You got rid of Buck Showalter. You got rid of Billy Epler. And to move forward, stop confusing the universe and just go out there, wave the white flag and say, this isn't working. We are about to rebuild. 3-8-8-0-8-1-0-9 like FM, KM to PM. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Metto! And the Rangers have one more hell to climb, baby! But it's Moot Vancouver! The Rangers are headed to the finals!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Today was a good day. I mean, it's still going. Still plenty of time left today. Hello, Keith McPherson on The Fan, your nighttime host, back from Memorial Day weekend, holiday break, and yeah. You wanted to say today was a good day. Maybe the second half of the day for the Mets will be better, right? It's hard to play two and take two, so you want to think that they'll come out in the night game and beat the Dodgers and split this doubleheader, but that's rough, man. That's the seventh blown save in the month of May by your New York Mets that leads Major League Baseball, and it just sends you into the same spiral and questions about the team. Like, okay, the bullpen sucks. But I thought the bullpen was going to be better. I thought, honestly, I'm like, okay, with the moves they made in the offseason and even the early on in the year, I'm like, this bullpen is not going to blow as many games as they did last year. Like, forget the June swoon. You're in the May. I don't know. Come up with something that rhymes with May. May dismay. I mean, just watching them, you know it's about to happen. Evan knew as he was on the air and walking out of here, emotional hedging and like, I just, like, it's almost incredible. It's remarkable. It's like a higher power. There is a higher power. It doesn't matter who the owner is. It doesn't matter if they put a statue out there. It doesn't matter if they bring back Old Timers Day. It doesn't matter what type of different jersey combinations they have. Hey, Daryl Strawberry coming up this weekend. Something to look forward to. Straw getting his jersey retired. I better see 40,000 in the stands for that. 3-8-8-0-8-1-0-1-9. In this hour, we have to get to the Rangers conversation, and I'll give you a couple minutes just on my thoughts about the Rangers. I feel like this area has so many people hating on the Rangers, but actually a ton of people that are obviously fans of the Rangers. I thought it was great that you saw the shots of Central Park for the country to see New York watching their team and celebrating their team, and I get it, Devils fans. Shout out to Sheldon Keefe, introduced over there at The Rock today. Your new head coach of the New Jersey Devils. Islanders fans just kind of licking their wounds and thinking about, you know, the Rangers and their run and how they, I mean, people are just hating on this Rangers team, and I can't do it. I can't do it. The same way I looked at the Knicks as an underdog story, I look at this Rangers team as a special team, a special story. Their whole moniker of no quit in New York is spot on. That is a great tagline. Stamp it on their foreheads. Because they refuse to lose. When they very well should lose, they're the comeback kids. I saw an NHL post on Instagram. It said the Rangers earned their 34th comeback win of 2023-2024, regular season and postseason combined, which is the most in a single year in NHL history. That is what they do. This is quite literally who they are. No quit New York. Man, that game, they should have lost that last game. In a best-of-seven series, let's see where I had in my notes here. The Rangers won Game 3 despite being outshot 37-23 and the Panthers having a 108-43 advantage in shot attempts. Props to Igor Shesterkin. I don't care how many passes you attempt in a football game. It's about how many you complete, specifically how many you complete for touchdowns, not even yards, right? The Rangers scored more goals. I guess you can try and look at it as a boxing match and the points scored for punches, but ultimately the Rangers land the punch to knock the team out. And you just gotta understand that right now what we're seeing is special. The Panthers could be up 3-0 easily. This could be a complete different world and universe for Rangers fans. But they win back-to-back games, and they have a chance to win tonight and go up 3-1 and come home. And what I said earlier was like, they're good players. Let me bring Rami Lavi in, because Rami is a diehard Rangers fan, and he's watched his team since he was a kid and understands. We're in the newsroom. I'm like, Yo, I have this in my notes, something we started talking about. I wrote in my notes, man, the Rangers have so many good players, and their good players aren't even playing well yet. Yet and still, they have a 2-1 lead, a chance to make it 3-1 tonight before returning home to New York. What happens when their guys actually show up? And it isn't a Wenberg, obviously great move at the trade deadline, that just for that one right there makes that trade worth it. But what happens when the guys that you rely on and depend on actually turn it on?
Yeah, and their power play. They don't have a power play goal yet in this series. This right. is they live and die all year. Everyone talked about, oh,
it's incredible.
They stink 5-on-5, but get them on the power play and they can score. And they haven't scored on the power play yet, and they're up 2-1. So you look at Panarin, and I know Boomer's been crediting Panarin for why Lafreniere is playing so well, because they're putting so much attention on Panarin that it makes Lafreniere play better. But the top line, Zibanejad, Kreider, invisible. Adam Fox is limping out there on one leg. Still, you're up 2-1. Jacob Trouba has been the worst player in the series. He's your captain. Like, if he gets going a little bit of trouble
with Trouba. How do you feel about that? I saw he got fined the $5,000. PK Subban went on about it being a major. I've said that guy is just a wrecking ball out there. He's out there for one reason and one reason only. That's to do damage and wreak havoc. How do you feel? Because I see some fans getting kind of annoyed with him and his, it's just how he plays. It's what he does.
Well, it's not even the hits, because the hits you live with, because he also leads the playoffs in block shots. He is getting a ton of hits, right? So those are actually positive. But it's the dumb penalties. It's where he gets beat, so he has to slash or he has to trip someone. It's losing his stick the other day where he breaks his stick in game three, mm-hmm. and then just completely gives up on the shift, just dives on the floor right away. Instead of trying to stick with someone, it led to a goal. So it's more the play that's been miserable that bothers Ranger fans, but he's your captain. You're not sitting him, especially where your defense already is, like with Fox not playing well and with Miller's not playing as well as he could be playing. So, you know, there's a lot. And I shouldn't say Fox isn't playing well. Fox is not playing the way he's capable because he's hurt. He's playing well, all things considered, but you think you're so shorthanded already, you're not going to sit your captain in these games, but he's been frustrating. He has to play better.
Yeah, but all in all, as a Rangers fan, you are delighted with the back-to-back overtime wins that you've gotten, you know, expecting them potentially to lose the last game. Was it Sunday? Or was
Sunday,
that yesterday?
Yeah.
It was Sunday. They had no business winning that game. They were blowing it.
Exactly. I thought they were solid in the first period until the first penalty gets called, and then they totally were knocked off their game. In the second period, they were fine in the second period, and in the third period, they get totally outplayed. And I thought the worst line on the ice all game, and this is how hockey works sometimes, the worst line on the ice for the Rangers was their third line. And of course, they get the game-winning goal in overtime. But those last 10 minutes of the third period, it was just, I mean, that was taking me back to 2015, 2014, those teams when the Rangers are just sitting on their heels. And how many times did Sean McDonough say it on the broadcast? Rangers on their heels again. Mm-hmm. Kept saying it because guess what? They were. And it's just, hey, Igor, bail us out here like they did to Henrik so many times. Igor's
Deja
not
vu.
Henrik, but he did it. And he saved them.
The Devils need a goalie.
I mean, that's
if there's one thing that Devils fans, you want to look at the Rangers over the years and obviously go back to your own history. Sheldon Keefe talking about, I walk in, I see the Marty Brodeur statue. I know there's high expectations around here. Like, look at the fact that they go from King Henry to Igor standing on his head. You need that guy.
Yeah, and they had Mike Richter still on his head when they won in 94. He was on with BT and Sal on Friday. So, you know, and they asked him, hey, can you compare the last three goalies that were him and then Igor and Lundqvist, obviously. That's some incredible goaltending they've had over the years.
It can carry you when your guys are not playing right, when you've got nothing, when it seems like you can't figure it out, you can't get out of your own way. That's what I said. Everybody's talking about the shot disparity. If anything, you should be lifting Igor up. It doesn't matter. They can shoot 100 more shots than we shoot. We've got a guy that's letting nothing go past him. We've got a shot.
It's funny. They show in the locker room, and I was going to say the same thing. Look at Dallas leads 2-1, right?
Yeah.
With Jake Ottinger, which he's doing out west, against the other team. Edmonton's probably the better team, but Ottinger's back there stopping everything, so it doesn't matter. The same thing they show in the locker room after every single game. They show who gets like the Broadway hat that the Rangers give out, right?
Yeah.
So it's always that whoever has the hat most recent. So I think this time maybe it was, I forget who had it, but it's Kreider giving it over to Barclay Goodrow, or whether it's whoever's giving it to the other person. They stand up, they say, Shesty, obviously, incredible, but here's who the hat goes to. It's like,
It's a given.
It's a given at this point. It's like the hat goes to someone else.
We're not even going to give this to you, bro.
Yes, he's standing on his head.
It's like Judge. Like, we're not going to give you the WWE Wrestling Championship belt. Let's give it to Alex Verdugo for his contributions, because it's a known fact. It's a given that you are what you are, and you're basically saving our asses. I mean, not for nothing, the Bravoski guy is good too.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I said coming into the series is, Goalie Bob, as they call him, is like one. This
He's
is the
really
best
good.
Goalie you faced in the playoffs so far. So I'm not going to say that this is an easy series the rest of the way, even though they're up 2-1. But as good as Bobrovsky is, Igor's better. It's that simple.
There you have it. Rami Lavie on the Fan. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's bring in a Rangers call before we get to all of these Mets calls. Again, the Mets end up blowing that game. They were up 2-0 for most of the game, but you just knew, hey, eighth inning, Adam out, the lead goes. Shout out to Frank the Tank. That was another thing Friday. Frank the Tank's video had me in tears. Frank is making some generational content off this Mets team. And, doubleheader. You feel good about Lindor hitting that homer. And nope. And there's just questions around the Mets, their bullpen, their rotation. Tyler McGill, amazing performance. Can't be mad at him. But you kind of knew, hey, no lead is safe. Nothing is sacred with this bullpen and the energy around this Mets team. But let's take a Rangers call before we go all Mets, probably until we get closer to the Yankee game starting. Sal is in Brooklyn. Sal, you're on the Fan.
How you doing, guys? Long time listener. I used to listen to the Smooth. I thought I heard him last night at midnight. Was he on?
Yeah, he's been back consistently. He was on last night, 7 to 12.
So, what's to show you? That's why I usually go home and go to bed. Anyway, let's talk Rangers. Are you kidding? I have a question. I just want to know the answer. How many actual 5-on-5 goals has Florida let in without the help of the Rangers, like in the first game when Lafayette locked it in, and the other one with ego mistake? Am I right or wrong? Florida is not scoring 5-on-5. Am I right or wrong? I want to make sure, because I watched every game.
Rami will look up the stat. I can't call it off the top of my head.
I'm thinking they can't beat us 5-on-5. That's what I'm paying attention to. The power plays they've been getting, I'll give it to them, because they've been getting power plays. Sutherland destroyed us the other day. Every time the Rangers made a mistake, there was a penalty.
It's remarkable. That's what I'm saying. I can't hate on what the Rangers are doing, because it's not like they're doing. They're not even playing their best. They're just finding a way. No quitting them.
Exactly. That's what I said. Everyone's doubting us. We've been underdog every game since the Capitol series.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, you believe
against
it?
Carolina, against Florida, not favored, but
we've been underdog every single game. So I just want to put that stat out there. I'm pretty sure Florida's not scoring 5-on-5, and we're doing a great job with that.
Yeah, they're shooting like a bunch, but it's not going in the goal. And as far as the Rangers, they're able to take advantage when they can, but it's like it's improbable. It's unpredictable. Thanks for the call, Sal. I think Rami was able to pull up that stat to see if that's facts.
Three of the last five goals for Florida have been power play goals, and it's three of the seven total goals they scored. But of course, only six goals, because they had an empty netter and they
in
also
the first
had,
game.
Yeah, exactly, and they obviously had the own goal. So, but three of the last five goals they've scored have been on the power play, and that's what's funny. Florida wasn't this great power play team, and the Rangers are. The Rangers haven't scored on the power play yet. So, like you said earlier, I expect the Rangers.
It's going to happen eventually.
Yes, exactly.
Might be. Coming up tonight. So the Rangers are on in about 45 minutes, and we'll take your calls on that. 388-808-1019, like FM. And we got to get back to the phones and talk about this Mets situation, because, like I said, and I guess my theme here is, after all the shenanigans that keep popping up from tote bags and Steve Cohen asking for feedback on the tote bag, Steve has got nothing to do with baseball. This is New York. We care about the game. We care about the team, the players, and the outcome. All the extra stuff, like, it is what it is, but, like, just start with the baseball first. And I think that you have that idea, right? Because you change course from, oh, yeah, we're going to win a championship in this five-year window, thinking that money could buy you a ring. And the more that you learn, the more you realize, no, I actually got to build this thing. I got to build the farm. We need to replenish the farm system. We need young talent. We need to make this a sustainable team. We need to change this brand. We need to change the motto, the moniker, the tagline of the Mets from being so Mets, LOL Mets, same old Mets, to wait, these Mets are different. And what you had 2 years ago is gone. And I talk about it a lot with the Make It Happen Mets, as I dubbed them in 2022 when they won 101 games. That is gone. There's some of the players from that team, but this is not that team. It wasn't that team last year. These are the Let It Happen Mets. Winners make it happen. Losers let it happen. And they are losing because it's contagious, and they are letting these things happen. Adam Ottavino was on SNY while the team was in spring training. He shouldn't even be back. Josh is up in the Bronx where the Yanks play.
Yeah,
got it.
Keith, listen, before I get to the Mets, the Rangers, they have these players on the second, third, fourth line, whatever, these unknown no-names that are stepping up while these stars are trying to search for their stroke and, you know, get it going again. It's exciting. And, you know, to the Ranger fans and Romney, shout out to you because, you know, enjoy the ride. And hopefully they'll get that one tonight and take it back at the Garden and finish it off. But on the Mets and everything, Keith, it comes down to the general manager. Look at these general managers, Billy Epler, Stearns. Come on, where's the leadership? What direction are you going?
Yeah.
You're going to have to stay low. Keith, you take it from here. You know what's going on. The Mets are crazy. They're opposite the Yankees. Hey, no way you're getting Juan Soto. I'm sorry. He's staying the Yankees.
Great call, Josh. Great. I mean, you say it. You host the show. You got it. Yeah, just go ahead and declare. Just go ahead and wave the white flag. Don't even play the game of having Steve Cohen come out with his Met hat and his little Met quarter zip sitting at a table to talk to everybody about what's... Just go ahead. David Stearns, it's your show, actually. We'll hear from you first. And we know you have a way with words. We know you're an Ivy League guy, but don't play games with us. Just get to it, bro. We all see it. You see it. And coming up next, we will not see Shohei Ohtani in the lineup. The Dodgers won the first game. They say, hey, show's over. Take the night off. Don't need you to beat these guys in game two. But maybe the Mets will go into that clubhouse and they'll believe in each other and they'll look each other in the eyes and they'll be like, one time, tonight, let's get this next win. Nacho is in Cliffside Park, New Jersey. Nacho, you're on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, long time no speak. It's been a while. Listen, I just want to, I mean, we have to come to a level or a point where we realize that this season, I mean, it's not even being negative or pessimistic, and it's already June, that this season is over, right? And this game, that ninth inning is, you could say, a synthesis of this Mets team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have a closer who has a very simple job to close the game, but I want to talk more about the hitting, right? We have one out, bases are loaded. For some reason, where the pitcher is behind the count, and you see it, you sense it. I was watching the game, and I sensed it. I said, we are going to lose this game. Even when we were ahead, when they tied the game, the pitcher's behind the count. McNeil's at bat. And it's almost like this team doesn't have a winning spirit, yeah, a winning desire. They don't want to win.
The losing is contagious. You don't have the feeling of, oh, here it comes. We're going to come back and walk this off. It's more of a feeling of impending doom.
No, it's a feeling of this is the Met team. This is the New York Metropolitans. This is what they are. They are not a winning team. This team is not a winning team, right? So all of this BS that we hear on Twitter about Cohen saying, oh, no, we don't want to sell. When he tweeted a few weeks ago about selling, about the deadline, we have to sell, right? And a Mets fan that's sitting here that's saying, oh, that we have a chance. Oh, no, we can't give up on this team. Oh, no, we have Lindor. Oh, no, we have Limo. What hitter in our team, Keith, has above 250 that has played more than 20 games? And we're talking about players. We have the highest paid Met player, $340 million contract, who is hitting below 220. This is a clear sign. This game is,
he's your leadoff hitter now.
That this season
struck
is
out
done.
Four times.
We need to clean house. We need to clean house. That's it. The season is done. We have no chance anymore, Keith. There is no coming back.
Yeah.
The Mets team is a team of players that don't want to play. They don't want to win. So then that's it. Give up on the season. I mean, this is what it is. The best thing for the Mets right now is to sell. Clean house. Let's start over.
Thanks for the call, Nacho. You might be a Yankees fan and feel like that's Nacho business, what goes on over there in Queens, but we're making it our business tonight. Yankee fans, we'll get to Aaron Judge and we'll get to the Yankees rotation awaiting the return of the best pitcher in baseball, but they're the best rotation in baseball. Who would have thought? Anthony Volpe's hit streak, he's not moving off the leadoff position. DJ LeMahieu's return, yeah, bat him ninth. If he's 75% of the machine, right? If he's even half of what he was in 2019, 2020, like, this Yankees team doesn't need him. It's just going to be a plus. And I don't think his glove is not going to be there defensively. I don't really have any questions about DJ as long as he's not injured and can make throws. If his bat is there, this is a batting champ, a guy who won it in the AL. I know, I don't have to tell you about DJ LeMahieu. He was getting votes as an MVP just a few years ago. Man, I got this guy's player tee and jersey because when he came to the Yankees, I'm like, this is who we need. This is the bat we need in this lineup. Thank you, Cashman. When he originally signed with the Yankees for, I think, $12 million a year, there wasn't even a spot for him. And then he just became the guy you could count on with runners in scoring position. When you couldn't count on Luke Voit, who would strike out looking when you needed something, Gary Sanchez, we don't even talk about anymore, but those guys were in a lineup with Judge and Stanton, and it felt like we had too many boppers, and DJ was the guy that would, all right, you know, come up and save the day so many times. So, man, hopefully the Yankees get some of that back. This road trip has been great. Okay, you lose a game after taking two and taking the series in a pretty dramatic fashion in San Diego, Juan Soto returning home. Man, I thought I had this weekend. It was just a year ago that the Yankees were hosting the Padres and Rizzo got concussed. And that changed the trajectory of last season without us knowing it for almost 2 months, man. Everything's coming up roses for the New York Yankees. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Yankees, about the Rangers. Can I sneak in another Mets call before we go to break, or should I break it down now? Yeah, let's break it down now. Now that we've introduced the conversation around the Yankees and DJ LeMahieu's return, and obviously Judge out of control video game numbers, and Juan Soto, those two guys campaigning for MVP, you're getting a guy back that just 4 years ago was getting MVP votes in DJ LeMahieu. The rotation has been super solid. There's a lot of good things to look forward to with the Yankee team this Mets season. Before we even get to June, this has been a rough month of May. This 10-game homestand that's supposed to tell you a lot, Memorial Day weekend, it is telling us a lot. And I don't think there's anyone that can sugarcoat it anymore. There's no way to try and act like this isn't a disaster when it is. And here we go, Rangers. Game 4, up 2-1. Haven't played their best hockey, but they lead the series. And if they win tonight, I don't have to tell you what happens after that. KM in the PM, the number to dial, 38808-109, like FM. We'll be right back.
World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yes, sir. Right back at it on The Fan in New York. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host. Just looking through some notes, some news, some things. 888-808-1019 if you'd like to join the show. We're talking about the New York Mets and the New York Rangers and more about the Yankees coming up. I mean, the Rangers game 4 is in a half hour. And, you know, we were talking about how their special teams hasn't been great, how some of the best players on their team haven't shown up yet. But still, no quit in New York. Just when you think they're down and out, being dominated, they find a way to win. If you're a fan of the Rangers right now, how can you not be believing that this has something to do with 1994, that this is the year we want the cup? 6 wins away? That's kind of ridiculous to even think about, 6 wins away. 888-808-1019. The Mets, It's like, I don't know. I know some Mets fans get upset and think that people are trolling or punching down or making fun. No, we're not. We're looking at this team. Any team in Major League Baseball, we'd be looking at like this. But it's even more laughable because of the payroll, because of the city, because of the owner, because of the new president of baseball operations, how they went about picking their new manager, the offseason that they just had, the dance crew that they added, things that the owner is tweeting about. Give me some feedback on a new tote bag, right? They want to have Seymour Wiener Night, buy up all the hot dogs. All of these things that have nothing to do with why we show up to the ballpark. I don't know. I know there's a lot of Yankee fans that show up to the ballpark for Juan Soto jersey, Gerrit Cole bobblehead, to get as drunk as they possibly can, which I don't understand that. I mean, I guess you're getting drunk before the game, because if you're in Yankee Stadium getting drunk as you can, that's going to cost you $300. But anyway, from my experience, sitting in every section of Yankee Stadium, and I think lifetime I've been to 10 Mets games, man, I go to see the game in person because there's things that you can feel and experience and see with your own eyes that you can't get from the broadcast. Now, obviously, the broadcast is great on television specifically because they have cameras and they have multiple guys calling the game with insight. That helps too. And even the radio. But, you know, what I'm saying is New Yorkers, we are smart baseball fans. We know our history. We know the rest of the league. We know what is going on. And we're going to the ballpark to see these guys perform. And when they're not performing, we don't want to hear any of the excuses or any of the, just give it to us straight. So I think I just saw a quote from Carlos Mendoza. Let's see. Carlos Mendoza says Edwin Diaz could be in a save situation in the second game of the doubleheader. And he said he's going to have to pitch. Yeah, because it's not like you have endless guys to not rely on your closer. He's got to pitch. He's got to get work. And sorry, you're a grown man and you're making $102 million. And if you can't handle it, you can't handle it. It's on you. And like, nobody's crying for you. Like, your checks are cashing. Go out there and be the guy that we need you to be. Find it. Figure it out. 888-808-1019. And yeah, the Yankees, like I said, everything is great with the New York Yankees, man. When you watch those games over the weekend, okay, Clark got taken out, whatever, they lose a game. The Padres are a team that I always talk about how high their payroll is and how low their expectations are compared to the Mets, right? They flew under the radar last year with almost the same payroll as the Mets. And 2 years ago, they met the Mets in the wild card round and beat them. But San Diego is a small market compared to New York. You can't hide out here, Francisco Lindor. Maybe in Ohio you could hide. Maybe in Ohio it wasn't so much pressure. Maybe that's why Jose Ramirez is like, yeah, I'll stay right here. I'll stay right here in Cleveland. I know I can make more elsewhere, but I'll take a little bit less to just ball out and be the guy on my team and not get all that scrutiny and all that attention in a big market city. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Lindor, it's not good enough, bro. And if I feel like it's getting to him. I feel like it's getting to him. He won't say it. He won't show it. But the performance shows it. And like I say, today in that first game, okay, that homer made you feel good about Lindor, but he erased it with the four strikeouts. And I don't know if it's come out yet, but him trying to lay down that bunt and then wearing the baseball off his finger, he's going to try and play through it tonight out of adrenaline. And let me make sure he's definitely in the lineup. But, like, trying to get cute and bunt there, Francisco, man, what are you doing? And then even with, like I said, going back to the weekend, him talking about what the pitcher threw, you're okay, you can take a pitch but be ready to hit. Don't completely just straight stand there in the box. It's just the optics are all bad. So 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the phones. Ari in Lakewood on The Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith. I want to ask, is there a chance that any team will be interested in one of the pitchers for the Yankees in exchange for, like, a very good second baseman or something?
You never know. I mean, I didn't think they were going to trade Jordan Montgomery, right? Left-handed pitchers don't grow on trees. Monty was a team favorite. People loved him in that clubhouse. They traded him for a center fielder when they needed one.
So you think there's a chance that they'll do it with Schmidt or Hill or something?
Hey, I'm not going to say what they're going to do, what they can or can't do. I know that I expect Cashman to be working those phones. And what we're seeing right now is a lot of conversation about six-man rotation. Jack Curry poured cold water on that. They're not going to mess up, guys every 5 days. So if you feel like you've got more than enough and there's a team out there looking for a starter, maybe. Who knows?
Okay, thanks, Keith.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, Jack Curry came out on the postgame show last weekend and gave you all the facts, all the reasons to why the Yankees wouldn't go with a six-man rotation. And I actually heard that, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop saying that on the radio. You're right. They're not going to add an extra day of rest in this month of June coming up, where if you look at the Yankees' schedule, how much – I've been talking about this since opening day. I'm scared. I'm not as scared now because they're rolling and they look like a juggernaut. They look like one of the best teams in baseball, if not the best team in the American League for sure. Don't tell me about the Mariners. We did that whole song and dance last week. Don't tell me about the Orioles either. Judge had one hit in that series. Verdugo went on paternity leave. Rodon had his worst start of the season. When I look at this month of June coming up for the Yankees, they do have almost every Monday off. They'll have a game against the Kansas City Royals. But like, I don't think that they're going to go six-man rotation. I think you might see somebody either miss a start. But I know all of you are saying, you can't take Luis Gil out. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's electric. He's dynamic. We're not worried about his arm. We're not worried about Tommy John surgery. Okay. So who do you take out? Nestor? Nestor's been here for this team. He's the guy that stepped up and took the ball opening day in Houston this year. You're not getting rid of Carlos Rodon. Carlos Rodon has turned into what we had hoped. Marcus Stroman has been excellent. After half the fan base said, no, it's not going to work. He's going to be a clubhouse cancer. He's going to be on Twitter too much. Yeah, he's on Twitter following Yankees fans back and tweeting about his teammates, all positive energy. How crazy is that, huh? You can just change your approach to social media. Clark Schmidt, you're not messing that up because that's a homegrown guy like Luis Gil, but further along than Luis Gil in his second year, he's been pretty good. Like you're not messing with that. So I guess Nestor, and I say Nestor because I think Nestor would go to the bullpen and take it like a champ, but he'd be pissed off about it. He wants to be a starter. He wants to take the mound. He wants to have the ball. But if we had to skip a start, maybe skip a start and have Cole fill in. I don't know what's going to happen, Yankee fans, but it's a good problem to have. It's not a problem. The Yankees have an embarrassment of riches. Now you've got three guys that can play third base, and DJ, John Birdie, who you traded for, and Oswaldo Cabrera, who's been a pleasant surprise. Your bench starts to get better. Right, we're not talking about Taylor Trammell anymore. Obviously, he's gone. Jamai Jones, I understand he's a guy on the team that, you know, his teammates like his work ethic, but like, you know, you're not really trying to see Jamai Jones in there. Next thing that's going to happen is DJ's going to get to playing, and if DJ gets to hitting, there are going to be people looking for Oswaldo. And even some people looking for the veteran John Birdie, who I know Birdie got hurt, but, you know, John Birdie is somebody that they gave up something to get. And at 34, right, you give up something to get that guy, you want to get something out of him. That's why you saw him come back from his first injury, and right away they start kind of platooning him and Cabrera. So I know Birdie's going to be out for a little while, but we'll see how long it takes him to come back before the deadline, and not before long. I've been putting it out there. Don't tell me that DJ can't play second base. He's got Gold Glove at second base. He was a second baseman. Like, don't tell me he can't play second base. Don't tell me that Gleyber Torres is in the lineup every day. And like, I get it. You gotta play him every day because you're trying to raise his value to someone else. And you gotta play him every day, hoping that he hits, like hoping that he breaks out of it. But man, now what was it? Sunday. The nonchalant, and I hate to pile on Gleyber, but we're not piling on. Similar to how we're not piling on the Mets, we are just using example after example after example to confirm what we think, what we know to be true. I can't with Gleyber Torres. A ground ball hit like that to second, and you want to turn your glove to the backside. Wake up, bro. That ball's got to be in front of you. You can move your feet. You're athletic enough to get in front of that ball and make that routine play. It doesn't happen. It screws up the inning. And the Yankees end up losing that game. And it's not just on you, but it is on you. That how many errors does Gleyber Torres have? I think I saw 7. No. In your walk year? No, absolutely not, Gleyber. We can't keep coddling you anymore. We can't keep making it, oh, well, you can only play this one position. So you're our everyday second baseman, and we know it's in there. You hit 38 homers in a juice ball year. I'm tired of it. I'm over it, yo. This is a team this year that if they don't get to where we all expect them to get to, You're going to be calling for the manager. You're going to be calling for the GM. You're going to be calling for all these players. You're going to start with pointing at Gleyber Torres. If he's in one of these games in October, I just think it's the end of the road with that. Brian is in Westbury. Brian, you're on the fan. Go for it.
How you doing? I'm up from Florida. He told you I went to FSU. I played second base. I want to see Gleyber Torres off this team. Let him play, get hot, and then trade him before. You can put Peraza in at second base, or you got DJ LeMahieu at second base. He blew the game against Seattle. I think you were at that game where he threw the ball in the dugout. And he also blew the game on Sunday in San Diego. And he's got 10 errors this year. So
is it 10?
I know my baseball. 10 errors this year.
Oh, it's 7. I was about to say, I said 7. I think it's 7, but it feels like 10. Oh. Thanks for the call, Brian. Shout out to the Florida State Seminoles. Great campus down there in Tallahassee. I wanted to be a Seminole. That was my favorite college football team growing up, playing with them on NCAA. I just loved the helmets. I loved the war chant. There were so many great legends that came out of there. I got to visit there. They weren't actually recruiting me, but they sent me one of those little letters, like, come to spring practice. And I got to meet Charlie Sexton and Xavier Lee. And I was like, man, wish I was better at football to come to Florida State. And I watched them practice, and I'm like, oh, hell no, this is an NFL team. There's no way. But it was cool to have that experience and go down to their campus and stay in Tallahassee for a little while. You know, football tangent. I can't wait for football to start. We're getting closer. Keith McPherson on the fan. Do we have to break here before? And then we'll have another break before the update. This is different. I'm used to the five-hour show or the show coming on after the Yankees game. The Yankees don't start till a little bit later. Stay tuned for that. I've got about an hour and 10 left. The Mets have started. Francisco Lindor is out there. Pay attention to how his finger, I don't know. I think that was his left hand. I don't know. We'll keep eyes on it. Call me up if you want to talk Mets, Rangers, or Yankees. 888-808-1019 like FM, KM in the PM, BRB.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And it is over. The Rangers win. The Rangers win and advance to the Final Four. Wow! What a comeback!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yeah. 101.9 FM. The Fan in New York City, duh. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, taking calls, talking sports. Quick one tonight. With the Yankees out west, I'm on until 8:55. And then you'll have coverage of the Anaheim Angels series as the Yankees should plummet them. Don't gamble if you're not a gambler, but I am a gambler, and I took the weekend off just so I could lock in and be with my family and not be sweating bets. And I was like, man, if I would have parlayed these guys to homer the way they homered in that first game, that was easy money. The amount of total bases, you Darvish getting rocked. I'm like, the Yankees, I've been betting on the Yankees all season because they're a juggernaut. They've honestly paid some bills. They've honestly got me back up. I was down after the NFL season. I almost hate betting the NBA. You'll be like one rebound or assist short on a parlay, blow your whole parlay. But the Yankees, I mean, just bet Juan Soto to homer. Bet Judge to homer every day. Parlay that with, like, I always do the first homer because you get a little bit more for who it's the first homer. I'll parlay Judge or Soto with anyone else to homer lower in the lineup, like Rizzo or Verdugo or Trevi. Cash. You can put like $10, $20 on that. Turn that into like $1,000. But don't bet, honestly. It's a waste of time. And even when I win, I know in the grand scheme of things, I'm always down. Never actually be back up. Anywho, if you're betting on the Mets, you should be betting on the Mets to lose. If you've been betting on the Mets to lose this month, you probably made some money. And the Dodgers pick right up where they left off. Jose Quintana, what I've said about Jose Quintana is the guy, a lot of the Mets starters have given you a shot and the bullpen blows it. This guy, more times than not, doesn't give you a shot. And I know it's only a solo shot, but it just, you know, coming off the way that the first game ended, you need him to lock in. You need him to be solid. You need him to not give up anything right away because the morale is low. The vibes are down. And what does he do? In the top of the first, he gives up a solo shot to Drew Smith, Freddie Freeman, obviously you guys know Freddie Freeman loves to play in Queens from his time with the Braves. He's having a jolly old time from game one to game two. He continues to destroy the Mets. And yeah, here we go. They're down 1-0. So you're already in the hole. It's not like you're going to blow the lead like they, you know, they're already down one. And as Drew Smith homered, I saw Jason Dominguez homered. And I know that's another storyline in the Yankee universe. What are they going to do with Dominguez?
Did you read the article from Brian Hoke?
I don't know if you said that over the air. Could people hear you?
Yeah.
Of course I read the article from Brian Hoke. And that goes back to what I was saying last week, that I just think that they're going to slow play this thing. And obviously there's a window here whether they could, you know, send him up or down. And the last quote from Brian Hoke's article is, it's likely that the Yankees will option Dominguez to AAA Scranton when his rehab assignment expires, providing more development time for a player who only logged 37 plate appearances at AAA last season, at least until an opportunity to contribute opens up in the Bronx or until the rosters expand in September, and I'm perfectly fine with that. Last year was break glass in case of emergency. In case this team sucks, in case this team is out of it, in case this team can't score more than 2-3 runs a night, embrace the Martian, release the Martian, send him up right away. And they did, and we all got a little treat out of that, and then he got hurt, and you know, we're waiting for him to return. But this team right now, they don't need the Martian. They don't need LeMahieu. I hate to say they don't need Gerrit Cole, but right now they don't need Gerrit Cole. So the Yankees have an embarrassment of riches, and we'll see what happens with that. But don't expect Dominguez to be up. I know in the beginning of the season, I'm like, you know, thinking that Judge might be compromised, right? Thinking Judge might have a toe connected to his oblique, to his abs, to his hip, whatever. And I'm like, man, we got to get Judge out of center field. How many Yankee fans were talking about, I don't like Judge playing center field every day. It's one thing about this Yankee team. I don't want Judge running around in center field that much. He's perfectly fine. He's better than fine. He's MVP fine. And I think he's going to be running around in center field for a lot longer. Soto is not going anywhere in right field. The Judge's chambers, they need to put a banner up that says Juan Soto Land. That is Juan Soto Land. And Judge is still Judge, captain of the team, face of the franchise, face of baseball. But he's your center fielder. He's a pretty good one. And obviously, Alex Verdugo in left field has been great. So 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the phones as we're getting closer now to the Rangers getting on the ice and reading the preview on the Rangers and going back to what Rami and I were talking about with the special teams, just providing some numbers. In the three keys to the game, they wrote about powering up. It says the Rangers have won the past two games without winning special teams battle, but know they'll probably need to improve on the power play to have more success in this series tonight. After going 10 for 25, that's 40% on the man advantage through its first six playoff games, New York is 1 for 18 in its past seven games, including 0 for 8 in the three games against Florida. Yet and still, they have a chance to go up 3-1 tonight. That's what I'm saying. I get it if you're a Devils fan and you're hating on the Rangers. I get it if you're an Islanders fan and you're hating on the Rangers. But if you're a sports fan and you're looking at this team and what they've been able to do, they're on a special run, and they've been on it all year. The Panthers are 3-for-11, 27.3% on the power play in the series. And even though they gave up a pivotal shorthanded goal to Barkley Goodrow in the second period of Game 3, they've been the better team on special teams in the series. Florida's penalty kill is 26-for-27, 96.3% over its past 10 games, and has frustrated the Rangers with its pressuring approach. So this is coming up, man. Game starts in about 5-10 minutes, probably a little longer. We'll take your Rangers calls now, and then we'll go Mets and Yankees for the last hour that I have. Philip is in Jamaica, Queens. What's up, Philip? You're on the Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hope all is well. Long time no speak. And you know I'm a diehard Devils fan, and what I'm going to say has nothing to do with it. I think the Rangers are playing great, but I want to say this. I used to play goalie, and giving up 4 goals, Florida could have won that game. And I don't think it's because they could beat the Rangers goalie. I think it's because the Florida goalie did not have – he's a good goalie, but he didn't have a good game.
He got got four, as good as he is, that puck can go by anybody.
Exactly. My point is Florida scored 4 goals. It's not like they didn't score any goals or one goal.
They
four
came
goals.
Back, and that game looked like it was going the Panthers' way the third period into overtime. And it was a surprise to me that the Rangers pulled that off the way they did.
Yeah, and all I'm simply saying is everyone is making it seem like the Rangers goalie is this great. He's a good goalie, but if he's such a great goalie, why'd he give up the 4 goals?
Because they shot at him over 100 times.
Well, that's true.
Just the law of averages. How many saves did he have? Like I said, the puck can get by anyone. Man, if you got to take 100 shots shot at you, it's 4 out of 100 is all right.
Well, that's true. What I'm saying is he is beatable. He's a great goalie. He did great.
He's human. But we got to give him his props when you see the disparity in the shots that the Rangers had versus the Panthers.
But I think it's more, my point is I think it's more that the Florida goalie did not have a good game.
We'll see because if he bounced back tonight. Well, you know, now we got a new game tonight. We'll see who's the better goalie tonight.
And I'm not saying this because I'm a Devils fan. I'm saying this because all of a sudden Florida could have won the game. It's not like they didn't beat the Rangers.
They definitely could have won. Thanks for the call, Philip. They lost. And that's the whole premises of what I'm saying here. Like, despite all of these numbers and stats, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. But the numbers do kind of lie here. The fact that the Rangers are up 2-1, back-to-back overtime wins, after losing the way they did in their own building the first night, like, I don't know, it's a special run for them. And I know their fans got to be feeling it. Like, it could go the other way. The Panthers could easily be up 3-0, and you could be down in the dumps. Instead, you're excited for this game tonight. You're excited even if they lose tonight for them to come home because of the way that the series has turned. 888-808-1019, like FM. Keith McPherson on the fan. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And it is over! The Rangers win! The Rangers win! And advance to the Final Four! Wow! What a comeback!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yeah. 101.9 FM. The Fan in New York City, duh. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, taking calls, talking sports. Quick one tonight. With the Yankees out west, I'm on until 8:55. And then you'll have coverage of the Anaheim Angels series as the Yankees should plummet them. Don't gamble if you're not a gambler, but I am a gambler and I took the weekend off just so I could lock in and be with my family and not be sweating bets. And I was like, man, if I would have parlayed these guys to homer the way they homered in that first game, that was easy money. The amount of total bases, you Darvish getting rocked. I'm like, the Yankees, I've been betting on the Yankees all season because they're a juggernaut. They've honestly paid some bills. They've honestly got me back up. I was down after the NFL season. I almost hate betting the NBA. You'll be like one rebound or assist short on a parlay, blow your whole parlay. But the Yankees, I mean, just bet Juan Soto to homer. Bet Judge to homer every day. Parlay that. Like, I always do the first homer because you get a little bit more for who it's the first homer. I'll parlay Judge or Soto with anyone else to homer lower in the lineup, like Rizzo or Verdugo or Trevi. Cash. You can put like $10, $20 on that. Turn that into like $1,000. But don't bet, honestly. It's a waste of time. And even when I win, I know in the grand scheme of things, I'm always down. Never actually be back up. Anywho, if you're betting on the Mets, you should be betting on the Mets to lose. If you've been betting on the Mets to lose this month, you probably made some money. And the Dodgers pick right up where they left off. Jose Quintana, what I've said about Jose Quintana is the guy, a lot of the Mets starters have given you a shot and the bullpen blows it. This guy, more times than not, doesn't give you a shot. And I know it's only a solo shot, but it just, you know, coming off the way that the first game ended, you need him to lock in. You need him to be solid. You need him to not give up anything right away because the morale is low. The vibes are down. And what does he do? In the top of the first, he gives up a solo shot to Drew Smith. Freddie Freeman, obviously you guys know Freddie Freeman loves to play in Queens from his time with the Braves. He's having a jolly old time from game one to game two. He continues to destroy the Mets. And yeah, here we go. They're down 1-0. So you're already in the hole. It's not like you're going to blow the lead. Like they, you know, they're already down one. And as Drew Smith homered, I saw Jason Dominguez homered. And I know that's another storyline in the Yankee universe. What are they going to do with Dominguez?
Did you read the article from Brian Hoke?
I don't know if you said that over the air. Could people hear you?
Yeah.
Of course I read the article from Brian Hoke. And that goes back to what I was saying last week, that I just think that they're going to slow play this thing. And obviously there's a window here whether they could, you know, send him up or down. And the last quote from Brian Hoke's article is, it's likely that the Yankees will option Dominguez to AAA Scranton when his rehab assignment expires, providing more development time for a player who only logged 37 plate appearances at AAA last season, at least until an opportunity to contribute opens up in the Bronx or until the rosters expand in September. And I'm perfectly fine with that. Last year was break glass in case of emergency. In case this team sucks, in case this team is out of it, in case this team can't score more than 2-3 runs a night, embrace the Martian, release the Martian, send him up right away. And they did, and we all got a little treat out of that, and then he got hurt, and you know, we're waiting for him to return. But this team right now, they don't need the Martian. They don't need LeMahieu. I hate to say they don't need Gerrit Cole, but right now they don't need Gerrit Cole. So the Yankees have an embarrassment of riches, and we'll see what happens with that. But don't expect Dominguez to be up. I know in the beginning of the season, I'm like, you know, thinking that Judge might be compromised, right? Thinking Judge might have a toe connected to his oblique, to his abs, to his hip, whatever. And I'm like, man, we got to get Judge out of center field. How many Yankee fans were talking about, I don't like Judge playing center field every day. It's one thing about this Yankee team. I don't want Judge running around in center field that much. He's perfectly fine. He's better than fine. He's MVP fine. And I think he's going to be running around in center field for a lot longer. Soto is not going anywhere in right field. The Judge's chambers, they need to put a banner up that says Juan Soto Land. That is Juan Soto Land. And Judge is still Judge, captain of the team, face of the franchise, face of baseball. But he's your center fielder. He's a pretty good one. And obviously, Alex Verdugo in left field has been great. So 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the phones as we're getting closer now to the Rangers getting on the ice and reading the preview on the Rangers and going back to what Rami and I were talking about with the special teams, just providing some numbers. In the three keys to the game, they wrote about powering up. It says the Rangers have won the past two games without winning special teams battle, but know they'll probably need to improve on the power play to have more success in this series tonight. After going 10 for 25, that's 40% on the man advantage through its first six playoff games, New York is 1 for 18 in its past seven games, including 0 for 8 in the three games against Florida. Yet and still, they have a chance to go up 3-1 tonight. That's what I'm saying. I get it if you're a Devils fan and you're hating on the Rangers. I get it if you're an Islanders fan and you're hating on the Rangers. But if you're a sports fan and you're looking at this team and what they've been able to do, they're on a special run, and they've been on it all year. The Panthers are 3-for-11, 27.3% on the power play in the series. And even though they gave up a pivotal shorthanded goal to Barclay Goodrow in the second period of Game 3, they've been the better team on special teams in the series. Florida's penalty kill is 26-for-27, 96.3% over its past 10 games, and has frustrated the Rangers with its pressuring approach. So this is coming up, man. Game starts in about 5-10 minutes, probably a little longer. We'll take your Rangers calls now, and then we'll go Mets and Yankees for the last hour that I have. Philip is in Jamaica, Queens. What's up, Philip? You're on the Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hope all is well. Long time no speak. And you know I'm a diehard Devils fan, and what I'm going to say has nothing to do with it. I think the Rangers are playing great, but I want to say this. I used to play goalie, and giving up 4 goals, Florida could have won that game. And I don't think it's because they could beat the Rangers goalie. I think it's because the Florida goalie did not have – he's a good goalie, but he didn't have a good game.
He got because got. Ford, as good as he is, that puck can go by anybody.
Exactly. My point is Florida scored 4 goals. It's not like they didn't score any goals or one goal.
They
4 came
goals. Back, and that game looked like it was going the Panthers' way the third period into overtime. And it was a surprise to me that the Rangers pulled that off the way they did.
Yeah, and all I'm simply saying is everyone is making it seem like the Rangers goalie is this great. He's a good goalie, but if he's such a great goalie, why'd he give up the 4 goals?
Because they shot at him over 100 times.
Well, that's true.
Just the law of averages. How many saves did he have? Like I said, the puck can get by anyone. Man, if you got to take 100 shots shot at you, 4 out of 100 is all right.
Well, that's true. What I'm saying is... he is beatable.
He's a great goalie. He's great.
He's human. But we gotta give him his props when you see the disparity in the shots that the Rangers had versus the Panthers.
But I think it's more, my point is, I think it's more that the Florida goalie did not have a good game.
We'll see if he bounced back tonight. Well, you know, now we got a new game tonight. We'll see who's the better goalie tonight.
And I'm not saying this because I'm a Devils fan. I'm saying this because all of a sudden Florida could have won the game. It's not like they didn't beat the Rangers.
They definitely could have won. Thanks for the call, Philip. They lost. And that's the whole premises of what I'm saying here. Like, despite all of these numbers and stats, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. But the numbers do kind of lie here. The fact that the Rangers are up 2-1, back-to-back overtime wins, after losing the way they did in their own building the first night, like, I don't know. It's a special run for them. And I know their fans got to be feeling it. Like, it could go the other way. The Panthers could easily be up 3-0, and you could be down in the dumps. Instead, you're excited for this game tonight. You're excited, even if they lose tonight, for them to come home because of the way that the series has turned. 888-808-1019, like FM. Keith McPherson on the fan. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.